The book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to finish this chapter, Lord willing, this morning in our quest for success. I want to be successful. Don't you? Amen. Sometimes I think we want to be successful, but we truly don't know what success is. So from the beginning, let me today define what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual success. You can have all the secular success in the world and still be just as empty as you can be. We want the peace that passes understanding. We want to be successful as servants of the Lord. Would you stand with me as we read from the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I rose in the night and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley, gate and the serpent well and the refuse gate. And I viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool. But there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up into the night by the valley and viewed the wall. And I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach." And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Gershom the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your love, your faithfulness, and your provision. We pray now that you'd open our hearts to receive your word. Give us understanding. Take your word and surgically apply it to our hearts that we might be made better servants for you. All this we ask for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Make me successful. Make me successful. Did you hear this week that there was a man who won 300 and something million dollars in the lottery? I want to ask you, did that man become a success overnight when he won the lottery? Please don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting you play the lottery. Not at all. Okay? I can find better ways to spend my money. But no, he didn't become an overnight success. I look at men like the Apostle Paul, and men like the Apostle Paul, they got it. They figured out what being successful was. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul wrote, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." Can you imagine coming to that point in life where you know you're kind of at the end of the road, but being able to say, "Man, I've done what God put me here to do." That, my friends, is success. And if we're going to have that kind of success, we're going to have to first realize, number one, that it's God's project. God's project. He owns it. He has orchestrated it. And He has you as a part of it. I want you to understand, first of all, Nehemiah was a man on a mission from God. Can you agree on that? I mean, God had placed in his heart a burden for the city of Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, in the first part, we read that we read today. It said, "Then I rose at night, and I and a few men with me had told no one what my God had put in my heart." God, this wasn't Nehemiah's just personal project. He's not selling Girl Scout cookies. He's not going out to save the whales or save the dolphins. He isn't saving the rainforest. What is inside of Nehemiah has been placed there by God Himself. As a matter of fact, that word "put" in that sentence, it carries the idea of God personally placing something in his heart. And that's what happened. God had personally placed a burden in Nehemiah's heart and revealed to him what he wanted him to do. That's why we say he was a man on a mission from God. Now I want to offer you this, because most people don't get this next part. You are on a mission from God. All right? In the bulletin I put "I" and blank. Don't write your name. Okay? Put "I, Doug Hambrick, am on a mission from God." But put your name in there. Okay? You, Michael Weatherford, you, Brother Kelly, you, Brother Trey. Put your name in there. Because most people really don't get this concept, that they are on a mission from God. And the reason that I say that, when you say, "Brother, how do you get that?" Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You are God's creation. Okay? He has made you what you are. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you were changed. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things were passed away and all things were made new. And God has orchestrated your life from the very beginning. Okay? Do you understand that? God prepared beforehand. He made you ready. He knew before you were ever born the purpose of your life. He knew that you were going to be in Russellville, Arkansas. He knew that you were going to be a part of Victory Baptist Church. You know, and you didn't know. I don't know how many times I passed through Russellville on I-40. There were times I'd stop and get gas, stop and get a bite to eat. But you know, I never remotely thought about, as I was passing through, as I'd stop and get gas, I'm going to be the pastor of Victory Baptist Church here one of these days. I didn't even know Victory was here for a lot of years. But you know what? God knew. He knew. And in his providence and in His planning, He prepared everything so that when the time was right, He'd bring Doug Hambrick to Victory Baptist Church. Do you know I'm a man on a mission from God? But I'm no different than you. Okay? He knew you before you were born, and He had a plan and a purpose. And you are where you are today at the orchestration of God. And I want to tell you, you're not there just to sit it out and ride it out. You're here to make a difference and for God's plan and God's project to become a reality in your life. Throughout the Bible, God has chosen to work His plan through men. I mean, we look in the Old Testament, men like Abraham. I mean, from birth, he was a wonderful, big shot kind of a guy, wasn't he? No, he was a shepherd. Moses, man, what an icon of Jewish history. You know what? He was just a shepherd. King David. The man that when God talked about him said was a man after God's own heart. Do you realize he was just the youngest of a big family, a shepherd boy, a nobody, until God got a hold of him and started planning through and working through his life. People today, again, we don't stop to consider that God really is working in my life. I am where I am by God's divine hand. And we may not all be an Abraham or Moses that delivers a nation from captivity, but I do want you to understand, if you are a child of God, Christ loved you enough to die for you. That makes you somebody, and He has called you where you are, and He has a purpose for your life. You're on a mission from God, my friends. And if you're on a mission from God, one of the first things you need to do in success of this mission is to get the perspective of God's project. And that's what Nehemiah did. He went out and he took a view of God's project. That word view means to inspect. He didn't just casually look. He inspected. He closely examined what he was going to have to do. And I want you to understand also from the very beginning, he's not going out to see if he can accomplish it. He's going out to see what he's going to have to accomplish. If you watch the old spy movies, you ever heard the phrase, your mission, should you decide to accept it? No, that's not the way Christianity works. Your mission is God's call upon your life, and you don't have the right to reject it. You just have the right to observe and to look at what God wants you to do. And that's what Nehemiah does here. He goes out through the valley gate to the serpent gate, or to the serpent well, to the refuse gate. The walls are broken down and the gates are burned with fire is what he found. He went on to the fountain gate to the king's pool. And it was so bad that the animal on which he rode couldn't even get through. I can't imagine. He's riding through there thinking, oh man. This is going to be tough. Oh man. This is one forevermore big job. Can you imagine? If you've ever been to the city of Jerusalem today, those walls are beautiful. They're put back up. They're in place. But I can't imagine. I mean, this was the days before Caterpillar. These were the days before the big bulldozers and them pushing, you know, earth movers. They're going to have to do this by hand. And he's taking the tour. And everywhere he looks, he sees destruction as he inspects the job. I want to challenge you today. We started with you're on a mission from God. I want to challenge you to look at the project that God has going. I want to challenge you to look around you for example, here at Victory Baptist Church. Take a look. Open your eyes. Look at the nursery. I love our nursery people. You better love them too. They'll bring them in here with us. Amen? No, just kidding. I love... Listen, you bring a baby in here anytime. And if I can't out preach him, that'd be fine. You know, we just go on. All right? You bring him on. But you look at the nursery. Look at the Awana ministry. Go back, if you've never gone back on Wednesday night, it was such a blessing last Wednesday night to see that fired back up again, that Awana ministry. Kids back there playing, kids back there learning the Word of God. That was the, you know, what a joy. Go back there and look. The music. Look at the music. Did you know, each Sunday, our music services just fall into place? People show up around 10:30 and they'll come up here and pick up their instrument and everything falls right into place. That's just how it goes. Isn't God great? No. Every Sunday afternoon there's orchestra practice and choir practice and individual practices and it goes on and on so that when Sunday comes here, we're ready to praise the Lord. What a big task. What about our teaching ministries? This morning, Sunday school, our first day of the new Sunday school year. What a great morning. A lot of people teaching this morning. Pouring their heart into their lessons. Our teen ministry. Our college ministry. Our senior adult ministry. Our mission support. Do you realize we support missions all over the world? I mean, we support in Omaha, the former pastor, Brother Danny. We support him. We support missions in Kenya. We support missions in Arkansas, all over the world. What a big job. What a big job. But that's just the small part of our project. Look at our hometown. You know, these messages, well, I mean, we're encouraging to get out of these walls and get into our hometown that we love. I love Russellville. How about you? Amen. We love Russellville. And we want the people in Russellville to know the love of God. Look around. Look at the Main Street Mission. Look at the Choices Pregnancy Center. Look at all the opportunities. And you know what you're going to decide? You know what you're going to find? You're going to find that this is one big job doing the Lord's work right here through Victory Baptist Church and in this community. It's a big job, but it's not optional. We don't look to find out if we can do it. We look to find out what needs to be done. Okay? So look around. And once you realize what a big job this is going to be, it turns you toward the people of God's project. Nehemiah had an attitude of, listen, we're all in this together. Verse 17, he said, then I said to them, you see the distress that we're in. How that Jerusalem lies in waste. You see the distress that who? Did you notice Nehemiah didn't say, you see the trouble you guys are in. He didn't say that. He said, you see the distress that we are in, including himself. And I call your attention to recall back when we started. You remember Nehemiah's position as the cupbearer? He was a pretty big guy in the government. He had a good job, well taken care of, a good bank account. And he didn't come to Jerusalem and say, look, you guys are in trouble. He came to Jerusalem and said, look, we are in trouble. We're in this together. It's our problem. I need your help, Nehemiah was saying. We've got to establish a partnership. You know, as I read this, I thought about where we are as Victory Baptist Church. We need one another. Let me say this one more time so that we stop and really think about it. We need one another at Victory Baptist Church. I'm going to keep saying that line until I get a reasonably good amen. We need one another at Victory Baptist Church. We do. We're in a partnership together. We're covenanted together to do the work of the Lord. We need each other to carry it all out because the job is so big. As I praise God for our music ministry and our choir. Choir, you're just doing a super job. Thank you so much. This is where you say amen. Oh, come on. Choir, you're doing a super job. We're never going to get out of here today. Listen, we got to beat the other folks over to the Cracker Barrel. You better get on board with me. Okay? Choir, you're doing a super job. Thank you so much for your ministry. Amen. I need to hear them sing every week. Orchestra, you're doing a phenomenal job. It blesses my heart to hear the horns and the drums and the bass. And it blesses me. What? I need you. I need you, Mission Committee, because I don't have time to call every missionary that we support every week and say, how's it going? I need you, Sunday school teachers, because I can't teach the 30-something classes that we have. I need you, youth pastor. I need you, youth sponsors. We need one another. This is not a one-man show. This is a God project that He's called all of us to complete. We need one another. We depend on one another. That's what Nehemiah did, is trying to get across to the people of Jerusalem. Look, guys, we're in this together. We need each other to carry out what God has called us to do. If you're not on board, get on board. We need your help. Okay? We're going to make a difference in the city of Russellville. Wait a minute, let me rephrase that. God's going to make a difference in our city, and He's going to use Victory Baptist Church to do it. Okay? He is. Then the passion. The passion for God's project. Verse 18 says, they set their hands to do this good work. They set their hands to do this good work. That word set in the Greek is an intense verb. It means to strengthen, and it's a verb that is talking about power. And the idea there with what Nehemiah says is that they put all their heart into the work that God had called them to do. You know? They had come to that point in life where they realized, hey, do nothing time is over. The walls of Jerusalem have set, torn down for 130 years. The gates have set, burned with fire for 130 years. Now it's time to do something about it. And so they set their hand, or they approached and began the work with a passion and a zeal for the work. Oh, that the passion of God would live in His children today. That a fire for the work of the Lord. You know, we're in it to win it. You know that? I mean, we're going to win. Not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done. He's made us victorious. We might as well just take everybody to heaven we can along the way. Why? Because we're in it to win it. We're in it to make a difference. We're in it to reach people for the honor and the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. You ever been to that time when the fire was just dim? We all have. Maybe you're there today. You remember what it was like? Back in the day when the fire burned bright and the zeal was hot and you were, you know, instead of being 10 minutes late for church, you were 20 minutes early because you just couldn't wait to get there. You remember when you had that desire for the work of the Lord? When you were faithful, when you were involved in everything that you could be involved in, when you saw the hand of the Lord working every time you turned around, something happened. Maybe you got burnout. I don't know. Maybe somebody hurt your feelings. That happens in church work a lot. Why? Because we're human. You're going to get your feelings hurt eventually. But whatever it was, kind of threw water on the fire. Let me ask you, how's that working for you? And I don't mean to be a smart aleck, okay? I realize that's kind of a smart aleck statement, isn't it? I don't. But I've been there. I've been there when you just sit in the pew and there's nothing. I've been there when you get out on your knees and you go through a prayer ritual, but, you know, you don't commune with God. I've been there when it's just a big shell and the zeal is gone. How's that working for you? Let me venture to say, I bet it's no fun. I bet you'd like to see something different. What happens when you get there? Well, you become critical. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like the song service. I don't like the Sunday school. I don't like the preaching. I don't like the, you know, you become... When it's not about those things you don't like, the problem is you've grown cold. You become empty. You stop growing. Spiritually, you're miserable. And eventually, what's going to happen is you're going to fall by the wayside. But there's another option. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he said, stir up the gift of God that is in you. That word stir up in the Greek means to kindle. You ever stirred up a fire? I want to tell you, God living within us should be a fire. We should there should be an excitement about the Lord's work. There should be a zeal about the Lord's work. And when that's not there, then it's time for you to stir it up. And every now and then, we have to stir it up ourselves. Okay? You can't, it can't be, I'm dependent on the preacher to stir it up. No. You stir it up. I'm dependent on the music. No. You stir it up. Brother Doug, how do I do that? You get away and get with God. See, every once in a while, Jesus, he just have enough. You know? And you remember what he'd do when he got to those points where this is all I can take? Or he'd steal away. And what would he do? He'd pray. Talk to his heavenly Father. Listen, he didn't go on a vacation on the other side of the world and come back all refreshed and renewed. And don't get me wrong, we all go on vacations and they're wonderful, okay? But if we're talking about getting back that zeal, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get alone with God and say, God, stir me. Make me excited. God, forgive me for going through the motions now for so long. Lord, I'm on my knees. I don't like the cold. I want the fire. I love their response. They set their hands to a good work. They strengthen. You know, that's been laying there for 130 years. And now, the fire rages. Time for a change. You know, you may be here today and it's time for a change. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary while well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." That word weary is the same as the last word in that passage. It means literally to lose heart. Let us not lose heart. My friends, it's time to get fired up again. Oh, it's exciting right now at Victory. A lot of great things are happening. And we need every member to be involved in God's project. Amen. We need you today. If you're here and you have been at that point where you've just gotten cold and, you know, all that. Listen, you don't have to stay there. Stir up the gift. Maybe you're here today and you're not a child of God. So there is no purpose in your life. Let me tell you the good news. The good news is Jesus Christ loves you and died for your sins so that you could have a purpose while on this earth and after this life on earth is through, so you could spend eternity in heaven with Him. Listen, Jesus is real. Heaven is real. And you choose where you're going to spend eternity. By giving your life to Jesus Christ, heaven will be your eternal home. Are you a child of God? If not, start. Today's the day. Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's talking to you. Everyone here. Brother Doug, you don't know what I've done. I've been a very bad person. It doesn't matter. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter what you've done. Okay? Jesus died for you. Will you come as we have this invitation? And if you're cold, today's the day to let the fire of revival start. Will you come? Spend time at the altar, just you and God, rekindling the fire. If you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of Victory Baptist Church, you feel the Lord has laid it on your heart to be a part of the ministries, well, don't put it off any longer. Come on. Get on board. And let's set our hands to this good work that God has laid before us. Oh, we're going to be successful. Spiritually speaking, successful. Whatever your spiritual need is, say yes as Jesus leads you. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you. so much. For your precious word, where we learn of you, where we may grow in you, and be reminded, Lord, of the shortfalls of our life. Lord, it is so exciting to be part of your kingdom project. It is so exciting to see your hand working around us. I pray that you will place within us a zeal, a desire for your work, for your ministry. Place within us a dedication, a faithfulness that refuses to allow Satan to hinder. And I pray, most of all, Lord, for those in this service this morning who are lost. I pray that today they'll begin their walk with you. I pray that today they'll call upon you for salvation. I pray that today will be the day that, Lord, they will give you their life. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Now we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.